There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of MLB DFS Quick Hits. This is your Friday, August 4th edition. As we get ready for the weekend, we have a two-game early, 13-game main slate with, I like what we got set up on this slate. Really, really good stuff. There's like five pitchers over 10K, and honestly, you don't have to use them. You can. We'll get into that, but we could have some fun. We got Coors on the slate, some really good bats to attack to be different. Lots of ways to get into these slates. I like them when they're not, you know, one-sided where you have to use the top or you have to use the bottom or whatever. Lots to like. We got another pitcher below 5K we're going to play with. I want to throw a shout-out to a couple of you guys. It was cool. I always tell you guys, let me know what's going on and everything. It was fun to hear. You guys are rolling with me on some of these guys, some of these really, really risky gambles. So I appreciate that. It means you guys are kind of understanding the logic of what we got going here. So that's really cool. That's what this is all about, working together and building some winning lineups. So let's keep at that, and let's do it. 13-game main slate, like I said, too early. Let's talk to the weather, look at the totals, and then break it down. If you're on the early slates, Nationals, Cubs, very, very, very light chances of rain. Humid, wind blowing out to right. Total's not out yet, obviously, because of the weather. But expect a high total, Nationals and Cubs, that should be good. And then Cardinals and Reds, because it starts 25 minutes before lock of the main slate, can't be on the early slate. I still, to this day, cannot understand how DraftKings can't start the slate 25 minutes earlier. I don't understand it, never will, but it's a good one because it's Cardinals, Reds, wind blowing out hard to left center in Great American Small Park. Talk about bats we could have used to go against Coors Field. We're not going to, though, unless you're playing an all-day slate, which the payouts just suck. But no one plays them, so knock yourself out. You get better odds. Into the evening slate. It's a little warm, a little humid in Baltimore. Tigers, Orioles, wind blowing out hard to left in that one. Padres, Pirates, chances of rain here. Be careful. 50 to 60% chances. Wind blowing out to left there. Rain early in Cleveland, then it dies off. Looks like we should have a window to play. Wind blowing across the field there. Doesn't look too bad. Wind blowing out hard to left field between the White Sox and the Red Sox. Dodgers, Mets, wind blowing out hard to left. We got a lot of wind tonight. That Dodgers-Mets game, Darvish, DeGrom. As we go down some more, we got the likes of small chances of rain in Colorado. That's normal for Coors. And that's about it. Normal wind blowing out to center in San Francisco. So mainly a lot of windy environments. One big weather one to keep an eye on when it comes to the rain. Other than that, good to go. Let's look at your totals. If you're playing the day slate, like I said, Cubs game is not out yet. Your evening slate. Tigers, Orioles, 9. Padres, Pirates, 9. Yankees, Indians, 9.5. Brewers, Rays, waiting on the total because the number 4 prospect in the Milwaukee Brewers system, Mr. Brandon Woodruff, is making his debut. We will be talking about him later. That's all I have to say on that one. Pretty excited about what we are looking at there. As we continue on, White Sox, Red Sox, 9.5. Cardinals, Reds, 9.5. That's the early one we will not be able to use. Dodgers, Mets, 7.5. Marlins, Braves, 9.5. Blue Jays, Astros, 9.5. Rangers, Twins, 10.5. Mariners, Royals, 8.5. Phillies, Rockies, and Coors, 11.5. A's, Angels, 9. And then D-backs, Giants, to be determined, because Anthony Banda making the spot start, his second spot start of the year for the D-backs in that one. Let's get at it. I mentioned your two-game early slate. I do not play two-game slates. If you feel like it, you have Rourke versus Hendricks in a windy Chicago. And then you got Mike Leake versus Wojciechowski, St. Louis, Cincinnati. So, yeah, there should be a lot of runs in both these games. Just don't play it. Don't play it. Get ready for the 13-game slate. I'm not going to talk about it. Let's go to the 13. I said you have five guys over 10K. You got DeGrom at 12-7, Paxton 12-2, Bumgarner 11-3, Darvish 11, Peacock 10-3. Okay, I'm going to start you with the Dodgers-Mets game, DeGrom, Darvish. If you want to use them, go for it. I really don't feel like using a guy against the Dodgers at the 12-7 price point, because at 12-7 you have to get the upper 20s into the 30s to get your value back. The Dodgers do strike out. And they do have the second lowest total on the board. I just don't like fading the Dodgers. I think there's more upside elsewhere. If you want to go there, go for it. Yu Darvish, same thing. Lefties hit him okay. Only a 300 average, but in the past, they've had good power against him. The Mets have great power against right-handed pitching. Darvish, first game with the Dodgers. Not saying that's going to kill him, but you know there might be some emotions going on. You saw Sonny Gray played well, then they finally got to him late last night. Didn't kill you, but he was also a lot cheaper than Darvish, who again is 11,000. If I had to pick Darvish or DeGrom, I'd take Darvish, but I'm going to go elsewhere. There's guys below I like, and there's a couple guys I'll use up here. I'm going to say right now, Brad Peacock, as much as I like Brad Peacock, we use him on slates where there's not better options up top or below. He's a guy that averages 13 points on a season. He's averaging like 15 his last 10 games. 14-6, 10-4, 33-4, 19-5, his last four. The only one of those that pays that price point is the 33.4. Toronto does strike out a lot in the hitter's ballpark in Houston. The upside's there with Peacock, but he's been so volatile, I will not pay 10-3 when I have other options that I'd rather gamble with. The two guys I am looking at, my favorite guy on the slate when in the high price point, is James Paxton. He's been so consistent. Even when he gets hit around a bit, he still goes 6-plus innings. He's getting you 6 or more Ks. Heck, 7 or more in his last 4 starts. 0-0-1-2. That's his earned runs his last 4 starts. 28-7, 37-4, 27-6, 28-5. All at least justifying the high price tag. He has 5, if you count 19-9, that's 26, 7. 7 straight starts of 20 or more. Consistency. That's what I'm looking for on this slate. He's facing a Kansas City team in Kansas City, pitcher-friendly ballpark. Looking at Paxton, he's third best on the barrel fifth the last 20 days, or 30 days. In the last 30 days, getting barreled 0.00% of the time. That is outstanding. He's striking out over 31% of the batters he's facing in the last 30 days. Now, the Royals only strike out 19% of the time versus lefties. That's fine. Everything looks good in Paxton. You know, ground ball rate, hard contact rate, home run, fly ball, all these things you have to love. They have the fourth lowest total on the slate at 4.07. Lefties 267, righties 288. I will be rolling with James Paxton tonight. I know the Royals seem to have heated up about a month or so ago. They've cooled down a little bit. They still have some weapons, no doubt about it. But I prefer the Morgans righties than lefties. I will go James Paxton at 12-2, as I'm hoping Mini will go to Darvish and DeGrom, which is fine. Totally fine. Like I said, if you want to go there, go there. I'd just rather take my gambling elsewhere. And then if you really want to gamble, my high-priced GPP guy, I wanted to take a dart on because I think Mini still don't think he's right. And if you don't use him. There's other options. But Madison Bumgarner has looked much, much better his last couple starts, especially his last start. 2 starts ago against the Pirates, 5 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned, 4 Ks, only threw 80 pitches. 17.1 points. So he was on his way to a good one. They were up big. No need to stretch the guy out and ruin him when he's still coming back from his injury. Last start out, Sunday Night Baseball in LA. 7 innings, 5 hits, no earned, 7 Ks, 26.2. He looked like the Bumgarner of old. Again, if you're worried about it, don't do it. But outside of yesterday's just craziness in Wrigley Field, the Diamondbacks do not hit lefties good. It's proven. Every team has a good game once in a while against something they don't do right when numbers just dictate weird things. It just happens. They blew up Quintana, but there was rain delays. There's a lot of factors that could have just tweaked that. I chalked that one up to just variance. Lefties 225, righties 281 off Bumgarner. I mentioned Diamondbacks at WOBA of only 294, but they like I said yesterday, they have the power, though, because that 159 ISO, when they're scoring against lefties, it's the long ball, and you saw that. Goldie went deep three times, not all against lefties, obviously, but he went deep. Drury hits lefties well. He went deep off Quintana. That happens. This is also not Wrigley Field. This is AT&T Park, the best pitching ballpark in all of baseball. The fewest home runs, I believe, are close to in all of baseball. Bumgarner at 11-3, I think, will be the lowest owned, maybe Peacock, because he just doesn't fit in this group tonight. There's days when he's five digits where you understand it tonight. I just don't. But Bumgarner is a sneaky GPP play if you're paying up. Again, you don't have to pay up for any of these guys, but if I'm going up top, I'm going Paxton, and I'm going Bumgarner, and salute you if you use the rest. You're more than welcome to, but knock on wood, I've been doing decent at fading some of the big arms this week, and it's been paying off. But we'll do that. Now we go down below the five digits. We go in the $8,000 to $7,000 range. And one of our boys is pitching tonight, Mr. Jacob Feria, $8,500 at home, pitcher friendly, Tampa Bay against the Milwaukee Brewers, heavy strikeout team. Feria coming off like 14.2 point performance at the Yankees. He's walking too many guys. Five walks. That's a lot for Feria. Prior to that, though, 19 points at Baltimore, struggled at Oakland, 16-2 at L.A. We know how good he's been. He's averaging 19 points a game on the season. He's only had one single-digit outing, and he's facing a Milwaukee team, as we know, strikes out a ton. They strike out 25.3% of the time versus right-handed pitching. The one scary thing is Feria hasn't been doing this until lately. His last 30 days, he's 17th worst on the barrel FIP, but he's only getting barreled 2.4% of the time. It's just when he's getting barreled, they seem to make it productive. In the last 30 days, his walks are up to 15.2%, which is scary, and his strikeouts are 18.4%. It's the risk-reward theory. Milwaukee can run into some in a heartbeat. They can also strike out 10 times and make Feria look like a G. Just depends on which one shows up. We've seen this. Weaver got it done for us. We've seen them beat the crap out of C-Mart this week. You don't know. But lefties are only hitting 251, and righties only 284 off Feria. That's why it shows you his barrels aren't high. It's his FIP, so when they hit him, they make it happen. Because, you know, FIP is the independent pitching variable, so it's like long balls and stuff like that. WOBA of 326, ISO of 190. We know what the Brewers can do. Feria is risky, but he's definitely on my list of options tonight. My top guy in this middle range will be Kevin Gausman at $8,100. Yes, I did not stutter. Kevin Gausman. Yep, Kevin Gausman. He's been looking like the Gausman we hoped he'd be lately. His last three starts, 33.5, 28.7, 27.9. That's at Texas on a very hitter-friendly day. 8 2/3 of 7 hits, shutout innings, 8 Ks. At Tampa Bay, 6 innings, 5 hits, no earned, 8 Ks. At home against Texas, 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned, 8 K's, three straight starts of 8 strikeouts. And the big thing in that deal, and it's, you hear it a lot, we've talked about it on Around the Bases earlier this year, he's found his catcher. The last three starts, Caleb Joseph was behind the dish. Buck Showalter, he's one of the smarter guys in baseball. He's frustrating, but he's one of the smarter ones. Joseph should be catching him again tonight because this kid has found something with Joseph. So it's worth a good look. Detroit, righty-heavy lineup. They have a team total of 435. That's on the lower half. Lefties, 324. Righties, 352. But the last three games, like those numbers don't even line up. So I think he's really, really worth the look. They strike out 22% of the time versus righties. Gausman, we've seen three straight games of 8 strikeouts. Swinging strike rate's up to 10.3% for Gausman. Hard contact still high, but it's coming down. There's a lot to like with Gausman at 81. We know the Tigers have some potent bats, but J.D. Martinez ain't there no more. And it's just one of those plays. A lot of guys still don't like to touch Gausman, so he's usually low owned, and he's paid off in spades lately. We've used him, and it's been great. So Gausman at 81 will be on the list. If he gets blown up, hey, it happens. But this is a guy that I think has the upside for another huge, huge night with that strikeout potential against the Detroit Tigers. And the last guy in this range, he's more of a good a high floor than a lower ceiling, but the upside's there. Ivan Nova, $7,800 at home against the San Diego Padres. Sure, the numbers don't light off the board. At San Diego, 10.5, 4 runs in 5 innings, but he did strike out 6. That's a key factor we're looking at. I'm not even going to count the Coors Field start. Those don't count. Home against Milwaukee, 16.9 points, struck out 6. At the Cubs, 24.6, struck out 6. Then he had a couple games with no strikeouts, and that's what killed him. But the part that is the best, Ivan Nova is a home pitcher. This has been his deal for a while. He's averaging almost 17 points a game at home. He's not a big strikeout guy. We know that. We just want you to go 6, 7, 8 innings. Give me 5-plus strikeouts. He's gotten 6 in his last 3 starts outside of Coors. That's a sign in the positive direction. And you're facing the Padres. This is a team we love to fade. We know they have some young bats that run into it once in a while, but they also have young bats that are super inconsistent. Nova strikes out, or the Padres strike out 25.3% of the time versus right-handed pitching. Nova's K rate's very low. It's been established. In the last 30 days, he's 15th worst on the barrel FIP. One of those games was in Colorado where he got blown up, so that takes a lot into it. He's getting barreled almost 6.6% of the time, but his K rate is up to almost 20% the last 30 days. I love that. He doesn't walk many guys. K rate increase, facing the Padres, give up a run or two, strike out 6+, give me a quality start. I'm a big fan of that. And the Padres have the third lowest total on the board. So after you go the Darvish versus the Mets, DeGrom versus the Dodgers, you got Ivan Nova versus the Padres at 4.07. That's the same total, so tied for third with James Paxton and the Royals. Lefties hit 355, righties 298. It's kind of a split lineup with the Padres, lefty righties. You got like Spangenberg, Solarte, I think Asuya, the second baseman. They might have one more lefty in there, but that's about it. 3 or 4 lefties for the most part, unless they mix things up in the lineup. So Nova at 78 is a very interesting play. Should be low owned as well. And the K upside, you know me, I'm a big K upside guy, and that pays off for us way more than not, because when our guy gives up some runs, those Ks bail us out. So in the middle here, in this order, Gausman, Faria, and Nova. Let's go down below where we get to have some fun, take some gambles. Honestly, if you don't want to pay up, I have no problem like going Gausman, Faria, Gausman, Nova, Faria, Nova, or one of these three, preferably Gausman or Faria, with one of these three I'm about to mention. So something to think about there. But as we're down here, we kick it off. I mentioned him yesterday if he was in the rotation. They pushed his start back. Porcello started last night. We got Eduardo Rodriguez starting tonight for the Boston Red Sox. Mr. Inconsistency. He's 3 starts back from the DL. 16 his first start, 10-6, 5. 4-4-3. He's going to put a homer in every start. But 5-6-8. He's got big-time strikeout stuff. He's super frustrating. Super frustrating. But the upside is tremendous with this guy at this price tag. He's been in the 7s and 8s since he's come back. He's dropped down to 6,900. He's facing the Chicago White Sox, 21.5% K rate versus lefties. Erod, that nice, nice 26.3% strikeout rate. Great swinging strike rate. Low hard contact. Just gives up too many fly balls. That's his problem. Ground ball rate of only 34.8%. It's not good. But the K percentage is tremendous. Low hard contact. Facing the Chicago White Sox, whose team total is 5th worst on the slate at 4-1-2. Lefties 348, righties 309. Really good reverse splits guy. They like to put a lot of righties out there. No Avisel Garcia anymore. He's on the DL. Frazier's gone. Lots to like about Erod at 69 as a nice punt option. The other punt in the same matchup. Very risky play, but he's... Last couple starts has shown the stuff we've all wanted to see. Carlos Rodon. This guy is tremendous. He has tremendous talent. He just walks the world and it ruins his starts. He's walked 3 or more in each start since he's returned. But he only had 3 in all but his last start. He only walked 2. But his Ks, his last 2 games, 9 Ks, 11 Ks against Cleveland and at the Cubs. 26.2, 17 points. Big, big strikeout arm. It's just always about the walks with him. He's $6,100 versus the Red Sox. The Red Sox, we know, do not strike out a lot. K rate of only 16.2% versus lefties. That's not what we're looking for. But Rodon, a 27.2% strikeout rate, a 12.2% swinging strike rate, a very, very low hard contact rate. But the home run to fly ball is horrible, so when they do get it up, it goes. And he walks the world. It's a GPP-only risky, risky play. But we talk about Boston a lot of the time. And, you know, last night they went off, but that was against Miguel Gonzalez. They don't light the world on fire. They really don't. They have a high total of 538, lefties 290, righties 346. So, you know, they could set up a righty lineup and beat Rodon into the ground. Or they could do what the Red Sox have done like 70% of the time, it seems like, this year, and just let us all down. For GPP at 6,100, Rodon has tremendous upside. But my guy, the guy I'm going to, down here, mentioned him already, the one and only Brandon Woodruff. $4,800 for the Milwaukee Brewers at the Tampa Bay Rays. You know how I already said Faria was the risk-reward, strikeout, power against, upside guy? Woodruff's the same. Same thing, but for $4,100 or $3,700 cheaper. The K upside is great. He's pitched in a AAA in Colorado Springs for them. Massive, massive hitting environment. And he's still striking out. Where was he at? Right here. 8.7 per nine. He's been tremendous. Even in last season, combined between double A and single A, he was striking almost 10 per nine. He's walking 3 per 9 this year. Not bad at all. Not giving up a ton of long balls, which is great when you think about the ballpark he plays in and the PCL as a whole. He's averaging 1 homer per 9 innings, which is really not bad at all. In that altitude he pitches in, it does limit strikeouts because it limits movement. He's still striking out almost 9 per 9 in Colorado Springs. This is really good stuff. You can't look at the ERA, the PCL, and that ballpark. 4.46 really is actually respectable in that park. He's 70 Ks in 72 and two-thirds inning this year. This kid is their number 4 ranked prospect. Could he get blown up today? Yes, no doubt about it. You'd be silly if you didn't think he could. He's $4,800. We played Luke Weaver at $4,800. And he was phenomenal against the Brewers. Oh, wait. Very similar to the Rays, right? Very similar. So this is something I really, really like. If he gets blown up, tip your cap. The Rays strike out 25% of the time versus right-handed pitching. I gave you all Woodruff's numbers. Just as a gamble, I love it. I love it, love it. If you don't want to, I get it. The Rays will probably hit 3 or 4 homers. You wouldn't be surprised. But they also might strike out 8-plus times if they let Woodruff go at least 5 innings. So the pitch count shouldn't be an issue. He's good to go. This kid's legit. Just a matter of how quick can he figure it out in the bigs. And he's got a powerful test ahead of him. But I like Woodruff at 48, and I will go to battle with that. All right, so down below, my guys, Woodruff, Erod, Rodon, in that order. Pitching recap, up top, Paxton, Bumgarner. In the middle, Gausman, Faria, Nova. Down below, Woodruff, Erod, Rodon. Let's check out the bats because we got some fun ones to play with today. At the catcher's position, I just can't pay these prices for some of these catchers. I know Sanchez went deep yesterday. Before that, he looked horrific against Kluber. So he ran into one. That's great. He is facing Bauer, which is much better. But I can't pay $5,100 for my catcher. I just can't. It's a GPP play. I get it because not many will. And if you want to do it, I get it. I can't do it. You got Suzuki. Kurt frickin' Suzuki. He's batting cleanup right now. He's hitting great. He's 5K versus Connolly. Can't do it. I can think about, I won't do it probably, but I've looked at it last night long and hard. Cameron Rupp at 48 against Kyle Freeland in Coors. That is tempting. Rupp's averaging 10 points his last 10 games. He's had 3 straight duds, but prior to that was just on fire. 19, 32, 10, 0, then a 22. Tremendous power for a catcher in Coors against Freeland. Freeland has been 24th worst on the barrel fifth the last 10 days, getting barreled 4.3% of the time. Getting barreled in Colorado, not good. That's common sense. So if you want to pay up, I could see paying for Rupp. But at the same time, that'll be the most common high-priced guy. That's where you could justify Gary Sanchez for $300 more. But I digress. I'm not paying up that much for catchers. I'm not paying $45 for Vasquez, $44 for Realmuto. We can think about Gattis at 42. I can get behind that. The power upside there is tremendous. But we'll go down some more. We'll look the likes of if Tyler Flowers faces Conley. I could look at that for 3,700, not Suzuki for his price tag of 5K. But Suzuki's been getting a lot of the playing time as well. But lefty's 334, righty's 320 off Conley. I could think about Flowers. The guy I'm starting with, the highest guy I've looked at so far, is Buster Posey. $3,600, first base catcher eligible, averaged 9 points his last 10, 7, 0, 19, 10, and 10 his last five games. And he's facing a lefty youngster in Anthony Banda. Posey hits everybody well, but he really hits lefties well. Really, really hits them well. He's been batting cleanup. He's swinging a hot stick. Against Banda at 36, that's a value in my opinion. He was like around 4K, I believe, the last few games. So $3,600 for Posey is a really, really nice price tag. Caleb Joseph is swinging a good bat. There's a really, really good chance he's playing today with Gausman. He's averaging 8.4 his last 10, 16, 5, 14, his last 3. It is Verlander. Verlander's a great pitcher. So if you want to avoid it, I get it. But he's swinging a decent bat. He'll be extremely low owned. We usually like him below 3, though. So we'll go down some more. And we'll look at guys like, where'd he go? Like if Tom Murphy cracks the lineup versus Velasquez at 33, it's not bad. If you're fading Paxton, Salvador Perez has always hit lefties extremely well. He's 3,100. I can understand that. One price tag has dipped quite a bit. Brian McCann, he's 3,100. He is slumping a bit, only 6.3 on average his last 10. I get it. He's slumping. He's facing a pitcher that's not that great in Valdez of Toronto in that ballpark. McCann cracks the lineup at 3,100. He has some very nice upside in that matchup. As you go down some more, say like a guy like AJ Ellis is catching instead of Real Muto versus Dickey at 3K. Give him a look. If you want to fade Woodruff, which is totally acceptable, totally understand that. Wilson Ramos at 29, he's slumping, but power upside, bats in the middle of that potent offense. Tony Walters, Colorado, 29, left-handed bat there. So there's some options here for you. If Hector Sanchez starts for San Diego, he's a left-handed bat against Nova at 28 with some power to look at. Manny Pena, we love Furia. He's struggled a bit of late. Like we said, he's getting barreled up a little more. Not a ton. Remember, it's a low barrel, high results. But Pena's got a lot of power, bats in the middle of an order, catchers in the middle of the order are few and far between. So $2,800 for that gives upside to Pena. Definitely does. Your Texas catchers, Nicholas or Chirinos versus Colon, are both very, very cheap upsides there. Other than that, yeah, Yasmani Grandal versus DeGrom at 26 if you want to be contrarian. Kevin Smith against Eduardo Rodriguez, if you're not using E-Rod. Smith at 25 has some upside in that matchup for the White Sox for a punt play. Bruce Maxwell at 25 versus Scribner is a nice punt option as well. Our boy Cervelli continues to slump. He didn't even start last night. They gave Stewart to start. But in his career, he has destroyed left-handed pitching. Travis Wood making a second start for the Padres. You get Cervelli at 24. That's probably the top value I'm seeing on the board. I know he's slumping, but tremendous upside in that matchup. So see what the lineups bring out for catchers. We always get some interesting options there. But Posey's my top guy. And then you can mix and match below. Go all the way down to Cervelli with some nice upside there. Moving on to the first base position. You got Freddie Freeman at 52 against Conley. Not bad at all. Abreu 51. Cost 10 at 5K. You start off with Duda at 48 versus Woodruff with that power upside. You got Smoke, who's just on fire at 48 versus Peacock. I like that. Peacock does get hit around. Smoke's averaging 11.7 his last 10 games. His last 3, 12, 19, 14 go deeper. 9, 6, 17, 9, 18. Guy's crushing it. $4,800. Don't mind that at all. One I love. First base, third base eligible. Big Bart's on the mound. Big sexy. Joey Gallo's 4,600. Definitely have to look into some Gallo. He went deep last night. He's in play again. If you're fading Bumgarner, Goldschmidt at 45 is a good contrarian play. I don't mind it at all. I'm not going to be focusing on fading Bumgarner. There's so many other quote-unquote safer options, but Goldschmidt makes for a nice GPP play at 45. There's a guy I love right here. The Phillies as a whole for tours are cheap. on the slate for the Phillies. Not as cheap as we're used to, but for Coors, they are. Tommy Joseph swinging a hot bat. Again, versus Freeland in Coors, Joseph's $4,400. Averaging 9 points his last 10. He had a 3-0 and then 12, 15, 2, 5, 18, 23. Some of his recent games. So Tommy Joseph at 44 is in play big time in Coors. You got a guy like Cody Bellinger, 4,300 versus DeGrom. You can see the upside. But then you got Edwin Encarnacion. Absolutely love this play. He was so expensive for a while there. I don't know why. He hasn't really slumped much. Maybe it's like they're saying the algorithm is all based on, you know, recent performance and stuff. Who knows? But he's facing Jaime Garcia, soft toss and lefty. And Edwin's only 4,200. We know how he just destroys left-handed pitching. So that's a good value with Edwin at 42. Definitely in play. As you go down some more, like a Yonder Alonso at 4K versus Scribner's got some upside there. Eric Thames against Faria at 3,800. That's a good value for the power upside. First base outfield eligible. As you go down some more, Chris Davis, 437 versus Verlander. I see the power upside there for GPPs. It's about it. Ryan Healy's swinging it better at 36. You can use Posey at first base also at 36 if you want. I don't mind it. I'd rather him catch and use someone else, but I get it if you're trying to save money at both positions. Yuli Gurriel, 33 versus Valdez, like that a lot. We know how Gurriel likes his righties. Only 3,300 with that upside. Nice value play there. If you're not using Gausman, Victor Martinez at 32, nice upside bat for cheap at the position. And then Hanley Ramirez does hit lefties really well. He's 32 versus Rodon. So some nice value down below here. Really, really nice value. Even a Kendrys Morales at 31, a Mike Napoli versus Bartolo at 3K, Will Myers at 3K, Valbuena. See, yesterday Valbuena was in the mid-4s. Now he's back down to 3,000 versus Jarrell Cotton. This is something you can think about. I don't remember this as many homer viable cheap guys at first base in a long time. We've got cheap guys at first base, but not with this home run potential. This makes things even more interesting. I'm not saying run to these guys. I like the guys up top more, but there is upside down here. Valbuena, Myers, Napoli, Morales all can run into one. We know that in a heartbeat. Would not be shocked if at least two or three of those guys run into one tonight. So keep those guys in mind. Tyler White with Houston. Big-time power in the minors. He's a right-handed bat, so righty-righty matchup. Less than ideal. He's 2,400. There's probably better punts out there tonight, like Cervelli at 24. We'll probably see Chapman cheap again and some other guys, but he's there at 24 if you want to. Second base, Jose Ramirez against Jaime at 53 is not bad at all. Altuve, get him in your lineup if you can. He's 5,200. The guy just continues to crush the baseball. He went deep last night, another stolen base, 25 more points. He's averaging 11.6 his last 10. He's averaging 10.8 on the season. He has an OPS of 1,000. He's just one hell of a ball player. It's unbelievable. He's so fun to watch. $5,200 for Altuve. As you go down some more, like Rugi Odor at 49 versus Cologne. It's a high tag for Odor, but it's a great, great play against Cologne. Because guys will be paying for Hernandez and LeMahieu and Coors. You'll pay for Altuve, which I think is the best option. But Odor at 49, he'll get overlooked. Definitely will get overlooked. Robbie Cano, if you're staying away from up top, Cano at 43, outstanding play versus Jason Hamill. Hamill's so up and down, and Cano's been so consistent. 10 points last night, 7.4 his last 10. He's hitting the ball really, really well, and he's still relatively cheap for what you're getting from him. That's the kind of upside stuff you're looking for, 4,300. Brian Dozier crushes left-handed pitching. He's facing Perez tonight in Minnesota at 4,200, so the Doge is in play as well. You got Brandon Phillips versus Connolly at 4K if you want to be a little off there. If you're fading Paxton again, Merrifield at 38 has some upside, but I'm not fading Paxton. If you want to, I understand it's GPP stuff, but not me. Kinsler at 37 is okay. I can understand that play. As you go down somewhere, like Jed Lowry at 35 versus Scribner, nice lower priced option for you. Solarte versus Nova at 31. Johnny VR, if he's in the lineup at 31 versus Freer, both options down below. And as you go a little lower, you got guys like, where were they? Brad Miller at 27. I like that as an upside play there against Woodruff for some value. That might be about it. Eric Sogard at 25 if you want to really, really punt against Faria. A guy like Sean Rodriguez, he's first base, second base eligible. He's $2,500. Does hit lefties pretty well facing Conley. He's not a great hitter by any means, but he's an option. And then Brandon Drury, if you just want like a one-off gamble punt, or if you're putting a little Arizona together, Drury does hit lefties extremely well in his career. And he's $2,300 versus Bumgarner. I'm not running to do that, but I understand the GPP upside play of it. We talk about GPP upside all the time, and Drury is one of those guys tonight at $2,300. There's no doubt about it. Third base, Arenado at 54 against Velasquez is, yep, that is your play. Jose Ramirez at 53, Freeman at 52, both okay plays. Eduardo Nunez, keep using him. He does hit lefties really, really, really well. He's third base outfield eligible, and he's 5K and on fire. 15 more points last night. He's averaging 16 his last 10. We're talking 15, 21, 24, 7, 33, 8. That's all his games with the Red Sox. Pretty productive. He's batting third in that lineup. So 5K, very solid. Bregman at 48, been playing really, really well. You got Miggy Sano versus Perez at 46. That's outstanding. In that same matchup, Gallo at 46. Two good options there. As you go down somewhere, Marwin Gonzalez at 45. I like that upside there. Longo at 42 with some really nice upside. Beltre at only 4K versus Bart. We like that quite a bit, actually, for some cheaper options. But here you go. Here's another Coors guy. We know he doesn't light the world on fire, but the power is tremendous in this bat. Mikel Franco, $3,800 in Coors. That's some nice upside there for you. So give him a look. As you go down some more, I got like Kyle Seager at 36. He went ding-dong last night against Jason Hamill tonight at 36. Mentioned Healy at 36. Castellanos at 35 is not bad if you're fading Gausman. The power upside is there. This price tag is too cheap. Travis Shaw. I know Furry is good. We love him. We know it's not the best hitting ballpark, but Travis Shaw at only $3,300 is too cheap. Way too cheap. It's risky. There's better plays, safer plays, I should say, but tremendous at $3,300. As you go down some more, third base is usually a landmine, except a couple we're used to, and they're down here yet again. Still cheap. Crazy cheap. Where you at? There he is. Matt Chapman versus Scribner is only $2,300. Tremendous power upside again. It's just, I don't get it. He had five more points last night. He's averaging 6.1, 5 points a night from a guy below 2,500. Ain't bad. That's just, it's silly. He's $2,300 and the zeros will be there, but he gets you more double digit games than zeros. The guy is a really good hitter. Just no love. And again, Caleb Cowart, yet again, he's averaging 10.1 points a game. He had 9 more points last night. A double, a walk, a run scored. He's only 2K against Jarrell Cotton. These two guys are just tremendous, tremendous upside plays in the lineup. So if you want punts, I usually hate punting corner infields because there's so much power up top. But these are GPP-type plays that can make or break and change things up. So think about it. Shortstop, Lindor at 5K is very solid against Jaime Garcia. The switch hit Lindor, I like that a lot. Andrus at 46, definitely in play against Cologne. Corey Seager at 44 is an interesting GPP option versus DeGrom. Didi Gregorius at 42, he just missed one off Kluber last night. Swinging a great bat. He's a good play tonight at 42 against Bauer. I like that a lot. As you go down, Trevor Story and Coors at 39 is not bad. I can understand that. Gene Segura at 38 is worth a look. Freddie Galvis at 37 in Coors. I like that quite a bit. Switch hitting Freddie at only 37 versus Freeland. I like that a lot. A lot. See, even some of these Phillies, you can use them as like one-offs just to fill your other lineups. And they're in Coors. So you get that upside already. There's like Freddie Galvis is over 4K most of the week outside of Coors. I just don't get it. Chad Pender at 35 is okay. Same with Simeon at 35. As you go down some more. Guys, it's funny. I look over Bogaerts every day. He's just so bad. Price is great. He's just so bad. But a guy I like, Brandon Crawford, 3K. He hits lefties extremely well. He was batting fifth last night, a Posey Crawford 1-2 punch. I had that in a lot of lineups. He got 7 points. He was 3K last night. He's hitting pretty well of late, averaging 7.4 his last 10. So it's good upside at 3K against Banda and company. So a nicer low-owned play. You can go with like a Tim Anderson from the White Sox facing E-Rod. He hits lefties well at 2,900. Adam Rosales of the D-backs versus Bumgarner. He gets lefties okay, but that's Bumgarner, not your average lefty. He's 2,900. As we keep going down the list, I mentioned Sogard earlier at 25. Ozzie Albies, 22 versus Conley, could be a nice play. Albies, a second base shortstop eligible, switch hitting. Hasn't got off to the hot start you'd be hoping for, but he's a very nice, cheap 2,200 punt option against Conley. So some good upside in that ballpark. Ozzie Albies could be a sneaky play today, but again, hasn't done much since his call-up. Let's go to the outfield and wrap it up. We got the one and only Andrew McCutchen at 54 versus Travis Wood. That's a really, really good play. I like that a lot. You got Trout at 53. I'm telling you, people, he does not get owned enough. I don't care what ballpark he's in. I don't care who the hell he's facing. He's averaging 11.8 points a game his last 10 and on the season. He had 21 points last night. He had 18, 12, 14, 10, 9. It's almost 10 or more in six straight games. I keep rostering him because I just don't understand how no one uses him, but I understand if you don't have the money to use him. But as between him, McCutchen, and Upton, you always use Trout. Always. Even though Upton went deep yesterday, he's playing great. McCutchen, I think he went deep as well, or at least had an RBI hit. Just an RBI hit. But he's hitting great. 5 homers his last 10 games. They're great plays. But Trout, just always too low owned. Always. But yeah, I love McCutchen, love Trout. Upton's not a bad play. Blackman against Velasquez at 52 is, that's too cheap. He should be the highest priced guy. He went deep yesterday, 26 points, averaging 11 on the season. Blackman, outstanding play tonight. Judge and Gardner at 51 are okay. Bradley Zimmer at 5K is okay. I love me some Eduardo Nunez, like I said, at 5K. I like that a lot. Aaron Altherr in Coors at 49. He hits lefties really well. Now you put him in Coors. I like that quite a bit. You got Ozuna and Stanton, both 49 versus Dickey. Could be some nice GPP contrarian action there. Nelly Cruz at 48 is not bad. Gerardo Parra at 48 versus Velasquez in Coors. Very nice. One I like a lot. He should hopefully get overlooked with all the Coors love. Nomar Mazara. He's been very inconsistent of late, but he's facing Bartolo at 4,700. Definitely like that. Mookie Betts went deep last night, hopefully heating up for the Red Sox. He is 47 versus Rodon if you're not going that direction. Christian Yelich, 47, I like a lot. As much as I like Mazara, I equally like Sinsoo Chu at 4,600. He's not the power guy everybody dreams about. He doesn't even have a homer in his last 10. He's averaging 7.5 his last 10. He put up a goose egg in a pinch hit last night. He didn't even start. But his last three starts, 10, 11, and 11. So he's hitting the ball very well. Going up against Bartolo, likely leading off. Like that quite a bit. Got Cedic at 46. I can definitely get behind that. Mentioned Marwin Gonzalez at 45. I'm not aiming to fade Darvish, but Bruce at 44 has some sneaky GPP appeal. Cargo's up to 44 versus Velasquez. If you're ever going to use him, it's in a matchup like this in Coors. It's just the only times to use him is in Coors against favorable home run matchups. That's all I can say about that. Bellinger at 43, I like. As you go down some more, I got like A.J. Pollock versus Bumgarner at 42 is a GPP play. Lorenzo Cain at 41 is a GPP play versus Paxton. Both those guys do hit lefties well. As you go down some more, Brandon Belt does hit lefties okay. He's 41. I'd probably go elsewhere, but I can understand it. Plus, Brandon might not go deep, so you get some bullpen action there. So I could see it. As you go down some more, see if... Did he get called up in this or no? Give me one second. Yeah. Hyung-Soo Kim. Not a world beater by any means, but he is on the Phillies now because he came over in that trade from Baltimore. He's only 4K in Colorado, so keep an eye on that. A play I love, he was 39 last night. It was tremendous. He's playing well since his return from his steroid suspension. 17 points last night. Leading off versus Wood. Marte hits lefties well. He's only 3,900 bucks. That's a nice value there. Really nice value. If Tapia makes the lineup for Colorado at 39, there's upside there. But I like that Marte price tag. That's very cheap. As you go down some more, like remember Eric Thames at 38. Chris Davis, 38, always upside with the home run ball there. Granderson's 38 versus Darvish if you want to hope for a one-off. Derek Fisher, 3,800 bucks, like that quite a bit tonight, especially if he's higher up in the order again. That's a good play at 38. Another Arizona. If you want to make a little Arizona stack, I don't blame you. I wouldn't go crazy with the – I like Bumgarner, but he has shown hittable before that last start. J.D. Martinez is only 3,800 bucks. That is really, really cheap. for that power upside. So that's JD makes for a very good GPP play, even if it's not a stack, just a one-off. That's what you're looking for in GPPs. Value, he's usually $4,800. So you're getting a big savings here. That's stuff to look at. And if he goes 0-for, you get it. That's the risk you're taking facing Bumgarner. But we know how bad the Giants bullpen is. JD might get at least one at-bat versus the bullpen, and all it takes is that one at-bat going deep. Just something to think about. Ryan Braun's only 37. That's got some upside. Matt Joyce, likely leading off, $3,700 for Scribner. Scribner, for those that don't know, was a career bullpen arm. They sent him down to the minors this year to become a starter. Pitched okay for Salt Lake in the AAA system. He's coming up to take the spot of Jesse Chavez. So he's not like a world beater, but it'll be interesting to see what he is as a starter compared to a reliever. Austin Jackson hits lefties really well. This is one of our $3,600 plays for Cleveland. We do like here if you want some value. Nick Williams against Freeland. I know it's lefty-lefty, but it's Coors at $3,600. I don't care about the lefty-lefty. That is way cheap. And Williams had a big night last night, so hopefully he carries that into Coors. Another guy we like, Brandon Guyer versus lefties. Remember I said it versus Sale. Guyer, he's a lefty specialist. He's $3,500. The Melkman at $3,500 is not bad. Switch hitting versus Paxton. Corey Spangenberg, $3,500 versus Nova. Worth a look there. Domingo Santana's always got power upside. He's facing Faria at $3,500. I wouldn't run to do that one, but he's there. Chris Young, he usually is in the lineup versus lefties like Rodon. He's $3,400. Keep an eye on that one. Ben Revere, mentioned him last night. He's leading off for the Angels these days. He's $3,400 tonight. He had 12 more points last night. Another stolen base. He has 5 steals in his last 10 games. He's averaging 8.6 his last 10. Ben Revere has been a sneaky, sneaky nice value play lately, like I was telling you guys the last day or two. He's $3,400 versus Jarrell Cotton. Definitely worth a GPP look. The Angels are always low-owned. Always. So definitely worth a look. As we go down a little farther here, Benintendi, big night last night. He's $3,300 versus Rodon. I might wait another night for that, but he's there if you need him. You got value with Suspedes versus Darvish at $3,300, but I don't think I'm running to do that. I'd rather gamble on Hunter Pence at $3,300 versus Banda. Pence hasn't had a great year, but he's averaging 7 in his last 10, 2 homers in his last 10. Maybe it's a sign of things to come, but $3,300 versus a lefty like Banda, the upside is definitely there with Hunter Pence. Leonis Martin, if he cracks the lineup versus Hamill at $3,200, has got some power speed upside for cheap there. We like the cheap power speed upside. As you go down a little farther, I got like Adam Jones at $3,100 versus Verlander, Renfro $3,100 versus Nova, Jock Jams $3,100 versus DeGrom. These are just power upside guys down below. Not guys I'm running to play, but interesting GPP options. As we get down below 3K, it's always an interesting thing here. You got like nothing so far. This is crazy. Denard Span's down to $2,800. I know it's lefty-lefty, but he's a good little ball player. Gorky Hernandez, he has played well of late. I mentioned that. Averaging 5.6 his last 10. He's $2,700. Should be in the lineup versus the lefty Banda. So keep an eye on that. Jim Aducci, the left-handed bat in Detroit. He's been batting second. Bat second again last night. Got 6 more points last night. I mentioned him as a value yesterday. He's a value again today. He's $2,600 versus Gossman. Even if you're not using Gossman and you're not stacking against him, a one-off value of Aducci opens up so much in your lineup. But at the same time, Cervelli at 24, one of the middle infielders cheap, that he still pay up at the outfield. There's so many ways to build your lineups to make them different and unique. You just got to get lucky and hit the value play. That's all it is. And Aducci's got power. Just keep that in mind. Other than that, I'm not seeing a ton down below here. I know there's some guys that I'm thinking of. Their names just aren't popping out. They're like, especially with a lot of the lefties on the lineups tonight, we'll see some interesting right-handed value plays and whatnot. So we'll keep an eye on those as they come out. So there you have it. Your bats for your 13-game slate. Let's recap the arms. Paxton 1, Bumgarner 2 up top. In the middle, Gossman, Faria, Nova. Down below, Woodruff, Erod, Rodon. Let's take a check at your BVP for the night. Da-da-da. Adam Duvall, that's the day game. Never mind. Why is that there? Okay, never mind. Duvall owns Leak, by the way. 11 for 22 with 3 doubles and 2 homers. The whole Reds team owns league. Just put that out there for you. Okay, remember how I said Jones is 3,100? He's only hitting 268 off Verlander, 11 for 41, but he's got a double and three homers, so there's upside definitely there at that price tag. Ian Kinsler, 7 for 12 with two doubles and a homer, career off Gausman. Castellanos has taken him deep as well in a small sample. Jordy Mercer versus Travis Woods, 6 for 19 with three doubles and two homers. Starling Marte, 9 for 31 with a double, triple, and three homers. McCutchen, 9 for 34 with a double and three homers. Josh Harrison's been out a lot, but he's even have two doubles, a triple, and a homer. So the Pirates against Travis Wood, like I was saying. Small sample, but Jose Perella, 2 for 3 with two doubles off Nova. Margot, 2 for 3 with a homer off Nova. All small samples. The A's versus Bauer, Didi Gregorius, the Yankees, 3 for 10 with a homer. Brent Gardner, 4 for 14 with two doubles. Headley, 4 for 14 with a double. Interesting plays there. As you go down, Asdrubal Cabrera versus Darvish, 5 for 13 with two doubles and a homer. Interesting play. Freddie Freeman, 4 for 9 with a double versus Conley. Tyler Moore against R.A. Dickey, 4 for 6 with two homers. That's a sneaky GPP play there. He's super low priced, first base outfield. Interesting play if he cracks the lineup. I'm not running to play him at all, but that's the kind of GPP plays that can really, if he runs into one, those will bolster you in a heartbeat. Stanton, 7 for 23 with two doubles. As we go down, Beltre, here's a sample size for you. He's only hitting 270, but he's 20 for 74 with seven doubles and six home runs off Bartolo Colon. Chirinos, 3 for 6 with a homer. Chu's taking him deep as well. As you go down some little farther, Gurriel, 1 for 1 with a homer off Valdez. Steve Pierce, Pilar, Donaldson, Smoke, Goings all have homers off Peacock. Kendrys Morales has two. Brandon Moss, 3 for 4 with a triple and a homer. Lifetime off Paxton, way too small of a sample. Robbie Cano, love this one. Batting 361, 13 for 36 with two doubles and two homers off Jason Hamill. Cargo, 5 for 9 lifetime with two doubles and a homer off Vince Velasquez. There's maybe a little more value to that bat tonight. We shall see. Ben Revere, small sample, but 2 for 2 with a homer lifetime off Jarrell Cotton. God, I love that play. Crone, Pujols, and Escobar have all taken Cotton deep as well. Jeff Mathis, 3 for 4 with a triple and a homer off Mad Bum. Adam Rosales taking him deep twice. Goldie taking him deep twice. Pollock taking him deep twice. They're all hitting below 300, but they've all had a little success. Even Drury and JD Martinez each have a home run against Mad Bum. So there's your BVP. One more look at the stackable options. We're looking at, you know, you can definitely stack the Rays versus Woodruff. I get it. You look a little farther. You got guys, obviously, Colorado and Philadelphia. You attack, attack, attack. Right-handed Red Sox backs versus Rodon, the lefty range, all the Rangers against Bartolo, but the lefty's hitting 350. Right-handed bats for Minnesota against Perez, lefty's 272, but righty's 350. I love a Dozier-Sano combo. That's always nice. The Astros versus Valdez, Astros are always in play, but lefty's 307, righty's are 417 versus Valdez. I love Altuve. Right-handed bats of the Indians versus Jaime Garcia, 335 for righties versus Garcia. That is a neat little play. Edwin's only 4,200. The Pirates versus Travis Woods, lefties 240, but righties 364. We mentioned McCutchen, Marte, Mercer, even Freese is an option. Bell's a switch hitter, but mainly Marte and McCutchen for me. That's my 1-2 punch. As you go down, like Marlins versus Dickey are always an interesting play. Braves versus Conley can be interesting. Other than that, you can mix and match. Those are the main ones I'm looking at. Good gambles on the mound. Good gambles at the plate. Lots to like tonight on your 13-game Friday slate. Remember to check us out, thesportsdgens.com, at thesportsdgens. We have a lot going on right now. We have Around the Bases with Bubba Mo, episode 23. Trade deadline recap is out. Give that a listen. Follow, rate, review. The works. Our boy Doc. You remember Doc's Dogs from last year? Well, we have a collaboration this year with the Saturday Edge. Great website. Check them out, SaturdayEdge.com. Check them out on Twitter, at Saturday Edge. But check out, they had their first podcast out last night. They're going to be doing college football this year, your weekly picks. But they previewed the ACC and the Big Ten last night. That is out. Give that a look. iTunes, Spreaker, SoundCloud. You have Doc also put out the UFC Fight Night preview. It's in Mexico this weekend. That is up for your viewing pleasure. We have NASCAR this weekend. We have EPL Week 1 bets from Squanto. He's also going to be doing DFS for the EPL. Tons and tons going on at thesportsdegens.com, at thesportsdegens. Give it a look, guys. Good stuff there. But more importantly, give me a follow at BD Intrick so I can help you out with your DFS needs. Let's get it tonight. It's a fun 13-game slate. Good luck. I will catch you guys tomorrow. This was MLB DFS Quick Hits, your Friday, August 4th edition. I'm out.
Life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance because you'll feel protected no matter how the wind blows. Also, you can keep enjoying the home of your dreams. And our expert agents can help you save up to 23% when you bundle home with auto. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.